everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Nitro Beer Power Hour. I'm your host, Wes Gardner. Of course, thank you for joining us on the weekend. Pretty exciting weekend this weekend. If you haven't already seen, go to nitrobeer.com. I put up my one-year transformation podcast. It just shows how I went from 145 pounds to 197 pounds of rock-hard muscle in 1 year's time. Go over diet, go over exercises, all that cool stuff. And with that being said, this Power Hour might be a little shorter than normal, just because a lot of the questions that I got this week were more geared towards the fitness stuff, but we still got a few really good questions. Deal with video games, deal with comic books, all that good stuff, so we're going to get to that a little later. But first, let's just start off the show with our wrestling roundup. Oh man, quite a crazy week for wrestling. This past Sunday, the day after I did the last Power Hour, they had a TNA Genesis, which is one of the major TNA pay-per-views. I think the, let me see if I can remember these, the major TNA pay-per-views per year is Genesis, Lockdown, Slammiversary, and Bound for Glory. I think those are the ones that they really push super hard. Everything kind of goes to that, with, of course, Bound for Glory kind of being their WrestleMania. They really put a lot of emphasis on that. But Genesis turned out pretty great. It had a pretty good card. I mean, you had some matches where I didn't agree with the outcome. You had stuff like Mr. Anderson versus Samoa Joe, with Anderson beating Samoa Joe, which I don't buy for a second. But the great thing about TNA Genesis was the main event. It was, let's see, main event was Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries versus Bobby Roode. And I'll tell you what, man, Jeff Hardy won, and normally I wouldn't agree with that, because I think out of those three, Jeff Hardy is he's the least talented wrestler. He's still good, but whenever you're against Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, those are probably two of the best wrestlers in North America, if not the world. So whenever you're in there with him and you beat him, I'm kind of like, eh. But to give him props, Jeff Hardy actually pulled it off. I believed every moment of it. He actually won it clean. There's no stupid run-ins. There's no aces and eights tomfoolery. It was a good, clean match, and it was very well done. So big props to Jeff Hardy for retaining the belt. Let's hope that kind of pushes him to keep the belt, keep doing good things. Then after that, for TNA Impact on Thursday, the main thing is, yeah, aces and eights still interrupts everything. It almost makes it unwatchable. But big news was, you know, Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan were getting married, and then Taz betrays them, and you'll never guess, Taz is part of aces and eights. Man, they just need to, you know, I'm not a fan of aces and eights. I mean, the gimmick is okay, but just make it a stable. Just make it just a straight stable. Don't make them run in every single goddamn match. Every single match. They're running in, they're doing something. Oh, they're doing jumping jacks up in the rafters, and everyone's paying attention to them, and then the other guy gets pinned. Oh, no. You know, it's just getting old. How many times can you do it to every person on the roster? Because the thing is, the TNA roster is only, what, 50 people deep? And whenever 30 people are in aces and eights, then you're like, well, that takes up half the show. You know, it's the same problem I kind of have with The Shield, but I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, that was the big betrayal, stuff like that. But, you know, TNA just needs to kind of, I don't know, it needs to, in my opinion, it needs to get away from the writing. The big, epic storylines of, you know, hell, even Sting going after aces and eights. I said this last week, but even Sting going after aces and eights, they did that in the early, or in the late 90s, with Sting going after the NWO. You know, I mean, I will say that Sting has some of the best promos. You know, I put him, as far as the pro wrestling gimmick type stuff, I put him in the same line as, like, some of Mick Foley's stuff. I mean, Mick Foley had better promos, don't get me wrong, but Sting has that, you know, here comes the Stinger, I'm coming to get you, you're a marked man, you know, that type of stuff. Like, you know, it's awesome. It's hammy, but it's cool. Big face paint looking like the Crow. What a badass. But yeah, that was TNA. I think TNA should just focus on the wrestling. You have, look here, you have Samoa Joe, you have Austin Aries, two of the almost the founding fathers of Ring of Honor. You know, these guys can put on 80-minute wrestling Iron Man matches if you want them to. You know, you have Kurt Angle. You have, I mean, James Storm, solid, but you have Bobby Roode. Jeff Hardy's picking up his weight, you know, now that he's clean. He's actually doing really good things. You have Bully Ray, who's really gone above and beyond being a singles wrestler. Brother Devon's not a bad singles wrestler. So you have all these guys that have all this talent, and you're going to waste all of your airtime on Aces and Eights. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old fogey that likes to watch people actually wrestle in my wrestling shows, but that's what I think. But speaking of Samoa Joe, you know, I used his intro music for the intro to this segment because I'm on a Samoa Joe kick right now. But you know, last week I talked about Samoa Joe versus Kento Kobashi, and then I had it on DVD, and you know, I heard a lot of hype about it, and I just blind bought the DVD because it had that match on it. And thank God I did, because the people that said this was the best North American match since Bret Hart versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania, they were not lying. There's something about that match, man. I think they were in front of maybe 200 people, 300 people. You know, definitely less than 500, for sure. I mean, they filled up a little auditorium, but as much as they could, it was standing room only. And Kento Kobashi, if you don't know who that is, I had to do some research on him as well, so don't feel bad. He is one of, honestly, he's one of the best wrestlers on the planet who's ever been a part of pro wrestling. He's been a part of, like, All Japan. He's been part of, let me bring up his wiki so I don't get this stuff wrong. He's been a part of a whole lot, is my point. But he has been, you know, he was taught by Dory Funk Jr. The guy's a badass, yeah. All Japan Pro Wrestling's dojo, he trained there. And he's also part of a faction back in the day with Mitsuharu Misawa. And Mitsuharu Misawa is considered by a lot of people the best wrestler that's ever lived. Ever. Better than Bret Hart, better than the Funks, better than, you know, Von Erichs, better than Ric Flair. Mitsuharu Misawa is considered, you know, rest of soul, he's considered the best, the very best. And for go into video games for a second, the character King in Tekken is based off of Mitsuharu Misawa. I knew that, but I never knew who Mitsuharu Misawa was, but he was basically the second Tiger Mask. So Tekken loved him so much, he's in every single Tekken game. You know what I mean? Dude's a badass. But yeah, Kento Kobashi versus Samoa Joe is a great conflict of styles. So you had Samoa Joe, who's very suplex heavy, very submission, lock based. And then you have Kento Kobashi, doesn't speak a lick of English, but the crowd was going crazy for him, chanting his name and everything like that. And that motherfucker is tough. He was doing slaps, and God, he was doing slaps so hard that Samoa Joe was bleeding on his chest during this match. And I mean, you could see it too. I mean, Ring of Honor doesn't have the highest production values, but even during the slaps, you could see his skin like ripping, and like, it was rough, man. And it was a 25-minute match of this stuff. And it was big, you know, boots to the face and, like, hardcore kicks to the face, too. Those ones that you don't know if it was real or not. You look at it and you're like, oh, I have to rewind that and see if he... Ugh. It's very clinch-worthy. And I will say, Kento Kobashi is one of the only people I've ever seen do a chicken wing German suplex to someone the size of Samoa Joe. And it was dangerous. Like, that crowd went apeshit when he hit it. But yeah, it's a 25-minute match, and it really is. It's one of the best matches I've ever seen. It lives up to the hype. If you read all the hype about it and all these reviews and stuff, it lives up to every ounce of it. There's just an energy in the air. Oh, and it's so good. I highly recommend you check it out. It's Samoa Joe versus Kento Kobashi in 2005, Ring of Honor. It's part of the, Ring of Honor Best in the World DVD set. They have a pay-per-view called Best in the World every single year, but this is Best in the World, kind of a collection. You can find it at, you know, online, Amazon, ringofhonor.com, things like that. So, but that kind of got me in this mood, right? So I just started watching old All Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling stuff, like Jushin Liger versus Ultimo Dragon, you know, Great Muta versus Tajiri. Some of these old school matches, man, from like the mid-90s, and God, that's some good stuff. I mean, they're great storytellers, and that's what I love. Get in there and physically show me a story. Don't tell me, don't get on a mic, don't tell me what I'm supposed to feel. Show me what I'm supposed to feel, you know, and that's how you make it. I mean, I brought up the Bret Hart versus Stone Cold match. If you've never seen that, that's one of the best matches I've ever seen, simply because of storytelling. You have Stone Cold, who's a bad guy, and you have Bret Hart, who's a good guy, and during the match, they switch, and Bret Hart becomes one of the biggest heels in the industry, and Stone Cold Steve Austin becomes a babyface, and he's, you know, the toughest son of a bitch in the world. You know, it's the famous match where Bret Hart has the sharpshooter on Stone Cold, and he's just Stone Cold's just bleeding down his face, and just trying to get to the ropes, and just passes out. He never says, "I quit." He never quits. Just passes out in the middle of the ring and has to stop the match. Bret Hart wins, but just that moment right there, you know, they showed us why it was an important match by making that swap naturally. And it was just really cool. Really cool stuff. Oh, man, now I gotta go rewatch all these matches, man. But let's get into WWE for a little bit. WWE. You know, rock concerts. I mean, WWE's going okay, I guess. It's entertaining. I'll give them that. It's more entertaining to actually watch than TNA is. But they're really building up this CM Punk Rock thing, and I'm excited for the match. But whenever Raw went off the air, apparently, you know, CM Punk and The Rock were so mad at each other that they just had to be pulled apart and they were fist fighting, and I didn't buy it. It felt really staged and scripted, and it doesn't really help things. I don't know if you noticed this with The Rock lately, but he'll look up at the Titantron to make sure he's on camera. It's just a little thing. I'm like, come on, man, you're a movie star. Just, you're kind of looking at the camera too much, you know, but he's not looking at the actual camera, which would be fine. He's looking at the Titantron to make sure he's on the big screen, which, ugh, it drives me crazy. Stop doing that, Rock. Stop doing it. But Alberto Del Rio still champ. It's kind of beyond me how he had such a quick face turn. Now he's automatically a good guy. I don't know how. I don't know how that worked. You know, WWE loves to make the universe feel a certain way. But never has it worked so well as I've seen Alberto Del Rio's just automatically turned into a good guy. Everyone would boo him out of the building. Not a month ago he ran over Santa Claus. You know, he was one of the biggest heels in the business. And now he's the best good guy they have. And I'm like, how does that happen so quick? It's like magic. I mean, good on Alberto Del Rio. Something I do want to talk about is I do like the fact that he wears his fancy suits, drives the fancy cars, and has the belt. Because it's kind of the hearkening back to the old, you know, Four Horsemen. You know, here, this is a bad dude, man. He's not only the champ, but he has all this money. Look at how successful he is. He slicks his hair back. You know, he kind of seals the deal. Whenever you have CM Punk coming out, and God knows I love CM Punk, but he comes out in his hoodie with the belt on, has someone else hold his belt, it gives it a different dynamic. But with Alberto Del Rio, you feel like, okay, this guy is a champ. You know, he has his ducks in a row. It's just really cool stuff. But yeah, I wanted to talk about The Shield as well. The Shield, the people in The Shield are pretty good. I mean, well, they're actually very good, like Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns and oh God, I can't think of the other guy's name. I'm drawing a blank. but Seth Rollins, there you go. You know, three very good performers, and you know, as a faction, they're actually bigger than what they would be by themselves. So I agree with them being a faction. But once again, The Shield needs to stop interrupting all sorts of stuff. Yeah, they're cool, but it worked for NWO in the mid-90s, and it's kind of working now. But they just need to, you know, stop interrupting stuff, man. And right now they're doing this thing where they're calling out Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Ryback. That's kind of a smart idea, because there's three already established guys. That way you can do a three-on-three, like a, you know, big three-way dance between the two sets of competitors. But then I think after that, the Shield is going to do a few more things, and then they're going to split. And I'm excited to see what happens whenever they split up, because God knows Dean Ambrose can have a good match with anybody. Like, he's the type of caliber that in 10 years, if he keeps getting good matches and performs the way he does know how to do, he'll be in the likes of Chris Jericho and CM Punk, and, you know, he will be a bona fide classic. I mean, Seth Rollins, a hell of a good competitor. He's a great competitor. Roman Reigns, I've seen do some stuff, and he's very good. He's very, you know, cutthroat and just a big guy. And those guys, hell, look at Batista. Look at, you know, Brock Lesnar. Just big old boys, you know. And, you know, WWE knows what to do with them. They still have that kind of fetishistic thing about, here's a guy who's 6'7", 300 pounds, and has a six-pack. And, hey, Roman Reigns fits the bill. So, yeah, Shield's cool, but, hey, stop interrupting stuff, man. Stop walking out and, you know, the whole Mick Foley thing. I wanted to see Mick Foley hear something. He had to say he's the inductee into the Hall of Fame. Another big news. I'm a huge fan of Mick Foley, so I was glad to see that this year. But, yeah, he comes out to do a speech, and then Shield interrupts him. And I'm like, man, come on. I know Dean Ambrose and Mick Foley had a thing going on WrestleMania last year, but and they were probably going to build on that, but then, you know, it was just a way for Ryback to come out, which is upsetting. Don't cheat Mick like that, man. Come on, Foley is God. Everyone knows that. But that's about it for wrestling wrap-up, man. I mean, that's, you know, kind of a busy week. You had a good TNA pay-per-view. Highly recommend it. TNA Impact, it was okay. But, yeah, man, the Samoa Joe versus Kenta Kobashi match was unfreaking believable. I'm actually going to rewatch it tonight. That's how good it was. But yeah, Alberto Del Rio has the belt, the Shield, all that good stuff. Yeah, hopefully Dolph Ziggler is going to beat Alberto Del Rio one of the next pay-per-views. Get that belt in his hand, for God's sakes, please do it. But that's it, man. That's Wrestling Roundup, and we'll be right back with some MMO news. Welcome back. With MMO news this week, last week I talked about, you know, I was going to make an announcement this week, and I'm still going to do it, but that's pretty much the entirety of MMO news this week. There's not a lot. I mean, World of Warcraft announced they're doing another raid instance. They're kind of bringing up a new patch. They're going to be twerking the way that PvP gear works. Same thing for Guild Wars is apparently doing some changes to PvP, and that's pretty cool. But the main news is, you know, last week I said that I had an announcement for some old-school Nitrobeard fans, and what it is I actually re-upped my account on Final Fantasy XI. And what that means is there will be the return of Moogle Stole My Bike. Moogle Stole My Bike, quick history lesson, the very first editorial series I ever did. And did it back, started it on the 1UP.com user message board pages and stuff like that. Really took off there. But then that was kind of the first big editorial push I had with Nitrobeard, because, you know, I was like, okay, now that we have our own site with Nitrobeard in 2008, I can actually do Moogle Stole My Bike. You know, it's been over 3-4 years since I've done this, and there's been some huge changes in Final Fantasy XI. And with all the hype happening about A Realm Reborn for Final Fantasy XIV, which also I will play later this year, I'll take video, do some write-ups on that, which I'm excited about, but the changes they did to Final Fantasy XI are pretty substantial. It no longer requires big groups, like leveling parties, stuff like that. You can solo almost everything in the game, besides, of course, the major raid fights and everything, but that's like every MMO. But I'm excited to see it, because I'm a big solo guy. I love playing MMOs at my own pace. They're relaxing. I can get stuff done. It's a great way to spend time, you know, and since I have a baby, I love playing MMOs, because I can kind of go, and I can farm, and I can fish, and I can do these other things, and I can make progress, but any time I need to log out, I can just hit escape, log out, go check on baby, go feed her, give her bath, whatever needs to be done. So it's a weird juxtaposition, right? Because MMOs are always seen as, well, they're going to take over your life. All of your responsibilities will go by the wayside because you're playing an MMO. For me, it's exactly the opposite. I could much easier stop playing an MMO than I could, like, let's say if I was in a ladder match in StarCraft 2. Sure, I can just escape. I need to quit, you know, baby's acting up. But that would be pretty terrible, right? Because it would go a loss on my record. It would be there permanently. Even if I was having a great match and just tearing someone down, just doing great in StarCraft, and then I had to escape, the loss is mine. So it's permanently with me. I just can't be doing that. I'll stress out too much. I'll be like, oh my god, all this crazy StarCraft stuff's going on, and plus the baby's crying, oh man, I gotta go. But with MMOs, they're nice and relaxed, and you can do things at your own pace. Sure, things take a while, but hey, being with a baby, being a full-time dad, I have some time to kill. When baby's asleep, you know, I can be doing radio shows, Nitro Beard, and then have an MMO on in the background. You know, they're definitely worth the investment for me, but yeah, just big news, Final Fantasy XI, going to be bringing back Moogle Stole My Bike. I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. I think we're going to do some of the updates here on the Power Hour. I think we're going to do some of the written editorial stuff, like we did quite a few years back. Well, I might be taking some video as well. I'm going to try to find the best way to do it. I would like to do voiceover for the video, but to be fair, it's a little more difficult to do good voiceover and stuff like that whenever I have a baby in the room, you know, because she'll wake up, we'll start crying, stuff like that. It could just become a headache, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll try to get stuff done. But yeah, that's the major announcement. But in this MMO segment, I would actually like to give a shout out. This is kind of a 6 degrees of separation. I want to give a shout out to Marco Flores. He asked a few questions this week, but he used to be a really big player of Final Fantasy XI, and he was one of the main proponents of me doing an editorial series based on it way back in the day. So in regards to that, in the 6 degrees of separation, Marco, being the awesome guy he is, he's a big fan of comic books, you know, as am I, but I've been out of the comic book loop for so long. But what he's done is he sent me some digital codes to download some digital comics on Marvel.com. And so I've been reading, you know, Avengers vs. X-Men. I've been reading the new Avengers, Volume 5, and also, Uncanny Avengers, I think. I need to load up my Comixology stuff, but and see what it is. But I've been reading comics like a fiend the past few days, and many thanks to Marco for sending me some stuff and some great things. I might even make a comic book segment, depending on, you know, how many comics I start buying and things like that. And well, what it introduced me to is the website Comixology. And I know if you're a comic book fan, you probably already know about it, but I had no idea Comixology existed. And basically, it's a digital storefront for digital comics. They get new comic books the same day as print, so every Wednesday, you're going to have comics. You know, you can actually make your own archive, you can make your own pull list, you know, and send it to a local comic book shop, and email it to them, and they'll do the pull list. Then you can go get the comics and things like that, you know, just great, cool stuff in Comixology. But the way I would primarily use it is digital comics. I'm a huge fan of Steam. I mean, there's so many inside jokes on Free to Play and Beardcast, and even here on the Power Hour, I have over 500 Steam games. And the reason why is it's convenient. I have a library all in one place. I can go, I can, if I need to cross-reference something from, you know, 20 years ago, you know, oh, well, what was the, you know, I wonder what that one plot twist was in A Longest Journey, or something like that. Or, you know, I need to go play the original Deus Ex again. I can always load it up. I can just load up Steam, double-click it, it's mine forever, there it is, I'm going to install it, there you go, I'm playing. Same thing for Comixology. They have daily sales, they have weekly sales, they have sales on trade paperback volumes, all digital. That way I can read it on a Kindle, you can read it on PC, on my Android phone. So it's a really good deal, but you know, and they have really good prices, things like that. But yeah, big shout-out to him for that. Glad I can start getting back into the comic books, man. I'm really excited for it. But yeah, we might make a little comic corner. Who knows? Anyways, we're going to take another really quick break. We're going to come right back with a few questions. Welcome back, guys. It's question and answer time. Thank you so much for the questions. Yeah, like I said earlier, a lot of the questions this week had to do more with the fitness stuff. So if you're interested in hearing that, definitely go check out the 1-year transformation post. I'm really proud of it, and you know, it's just the beginning. This 1-year thing has really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff, so I'm really looking forward to see what I look like in 2 or 3 years if I keep on the track that I'm going. But let's get on with the question and answers for this week. First question from Mark Bradshaw. The best tag team combination, provided one tag member must ride on top of the other one, and the guy on top must be pinned. Interesting. And I think they're called, I think that move's called the Tower. In different wrestling organizations, it's called, you know, every different thing. But it's like, yeah, someone's just getting on your shoulders, and then a move happens to the guy on top. The Dudley Boys are really famous for it. But actually, it happened 2 times this past week. It happened at Genesis. So it happened whenever, you know, Jeff Hardy did his, Poetry in Motion or whatever it is, his kind of reverse swan dive backflip thing, onto Austin Aries that was on top of Bobby Roode, and then it also happened in WWE as well, which is pretty crazy. But it's just weird seeing that move specifically done by 2 different federations on the same week, because you don't normally see that type of stuff. But the best tag team combo, provided one tag member must ride on top. Now see, here's the deal, because you could have just 2 really good wrestlers, you know, in a tag team. You could just do that, and that'd be a pretty good tag team. But the fact that one has to ride on top of the other one, I would say best tag team combo, provided one tag member must ride on top of the other, and the top guy must be pinned. I would say the bottom guy is, you know what, I'll say the bottom guy is Undertaker. And then the top guy is Daniel Bryan. Because Daniel Bryan's real good at escaping holds. You know what I mean? That's what I would say. So you would just basically, it'd be Team Hell No, but you would just switch out Undertaker for Kane. You know, you would tag him in, essentially. It's the joke that keeps on giving. Next question from good pal Marco Flores. Will you guys do a PlayStation 2 Game of the Year award for 2013? Interesting. I think I already know what the winner would be, because it would probably be the only game released on the PS2 in 2013, and that would be Madden. So congratulations to Madden for winning Game of the Year on the PS2 for 2013. Big round of applause. Well done. Well done. Any profit with the final question. Asks, what do you think of the Sackboy nerfs in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale? I think it's a travesty. I don't even know. I've never played it. I have no interest in it. But here's the thing. I'm not really a big fan of Smash Brothers either. You know, I've played Smash Brothers in my day. I've played Drunken Smash Brothers, and that's a lot of fun. But as far as a party game, I would rather play Mario Kart. You know, I would rather do Drunken DDR. That's funnier to me. Super Smash and PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, they just don't do anything for me. You know, I don't know. It's just something about that genre. Just that party fight game type of deal. Like, I love standard fighting games, don't get me wrong. I would love to do, like, a King of the Ring style, you know, or King of the Hill, rather, style thing where, you know, one guy plays and then whoever wins that stays, and then the next person comes up and gets next, and then they keep doing that, and then the winner of everything gets some sort of prize. That's awesome. But with Smash Brothers, it's nonsense. You know, I don't even view it as a real fighting game, because it's more of a party game. It's not meant to be, you know, Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. You know, levels of, or like, some crazy Guilty Gear or Blaze Blue or something. It's not meant to be that. It's meant to be just a party atmosphere. You have a few drinks, you have some buddies over, you all pick the funniest character, and then you try to kick each other's ass. And yeah, there's some fun there, but I don't know. I'd rather play an actual fighting game. Because I'm one of those guys that I get better as I'm a little bit more tipsy, you know? But then there's a very harsh threshold to where, well, if I have this many drinks, if I have 3 beers, I'm just relaxed enough to kind of let things happen and, you know, respond well and things like that. But if I have 5 beers, then, you know, my motor skills start taking the hit and my delayed reaction time, you know. So it's a very fine line you have to balance. I haven't drank in, God, over a year and a half. So I don't know what my thing would be now, especially with the size that I am now and the fact that I haven't touched alcohol in a while. I'd like to try. I think it'd be fun. Do a big gaming party. But you know, I'm old now. I'm an old man. I'm 27. Old, old, old. I don't have time for all that highfalutin nonsense anymore. You know, my party days are over. My college frisky years are done with. My grab-ass times have come to a close. But yeah, thanks for the questions, guys. I know 3 questions doesn't seem like a lot for a power hour, but they're 3 very good questions. Thank you guys so much for sending them in. Next week, we're going to have the standard power hour coming back to ya. Probably going to talk more about comic books, things like that. I want to definitely start making that hopefully a weekly thing. We'll find a way to fit it into the power hour for sure, and what my thoughts are and things like that. But, yeah, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for letting Nitro Beer be part of your weekend. If you haven't heard the 1 Year Transformation podcast, I strongly urge you to do so. It has some cool things about fitness and fitness industry and supplements and protein and weightlifting and all sorts of fun stuff. So it's definitely a different thing than what we normally post on Nitro Beard, but it was cool enough that I thought I'd share it. I got so many questions, I feel like I had to answer them. So it's a lot of fun. It's about a 2-hour-long podcast. So a lot of information there, shows what I did, what workouts I did, all that good stuff. So I definitely highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. I may even answer more fitness questions on the Power Hour if I start getting more of them, which I'm totally fine with. If you got them, if you want to gain weight, lose weight, build muscle, you know, shed fat, whatever you want to do, let me know. I'll help you best I can, man. Anyway, that's been the Power Hour. Kind of a short one, but I hope you guys had fun. Lord knows I did. Always love talking to you guys. And once again, thanks for coming to NitroBeer.com. Thanks for downloading the Power Hour. Go listen to Free to Play. Go listen to the Jumpcast. Make NitroBeer.com a favorite and bookmark it. We're always going to be posting up some stuff. I know Mark Bradshaw's got some more of the year in review that he's going to be doing. Those are great articles. Read them if you haven't already. Just some awesome stuff at NitroBeer.com. Definitely make us part of your everyday. Hit me up on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/commietohobo, twitter.com/commietohobo. And you know what? We'll see you next time. But until then, power up.